Last Monday, we once again commemorated Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday. It's been on my mind and heart all week, and when I read the texts for today, one of Dr. King's many quotes came to me, and this is what he said. Every person lives in two realms, the internal and the external. The internal is that realm of spiritual ends expressed in art and literature, morals and religion. And the external is that complex of devices, techniques, mechanisms and instrumentalities by means of which we live. I think the quote resonated with me because I'm often torn between these two worlds. I would love to spend all day in the internal realm. I love to hang out at the St. Louis Art Museum and look at the new and stunning Kehinde Wiley exhibit. I love to read, listen to music, and engage in contemplative prayer all day. But there are also things in the external world which I cannot neglect. I have to go to work. I have an ailing mother to tend to, a broken shower head that needs fixing, and puppies that can't seem to get the meaning of housebroken. And if all of that were not enough, I struggle reconciling what I believe in my heart with the way the world works and presents itself day by day. So this tug and pull between my internal and external person is personified today in the story that Doug just read from the Hebrew Bible by two towering figures. The internal person is represented by Ezra, the scribe and the priest. He's tasked by restoring worship, refamiliarizing the Israelites who are returning from exile with scripture and maintaining the public reading of Torah, the first five books of Moses, or what we often call the Old Testament. And the external person is represented by Nehemiah, who came to Jerusalem after he held high offices at the Persian court for the many years that the Israelites had been in exile. Now, Nehemiah was a political leader, and he was tasked with things such as rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem and confronting Israel's armed enemies. Now, what brought these two leaders together, what enabled them to compromise their sometimes diametrically opposed interests, was one concern, the concern for a people who had lived without a home and under oppression by a foreign king for a very, very long time. And so, working together, Ezra and Nehemiah proclaimed a message of hope. And they read from the book of God's teaching, expounding and giving reasons, and they explained what was read. And Nehemiah, who was governor, and Ezra, the priest and the Levite, said to all the people, "Today is holy to you, to the Lord your God. Do not mourn and do not weep." Somehow, the interests of the internal person, Ezra, the priest, and the interests of Nehemiah, the external person, the governor, came together around their common concern for God's people. And the context in which this was possible for the two to bridge their sometime conflicting interests was worship. Centuries later, when Jesus walked on the Sabbath into the synagogue in Nazareth, his hometown, as he apparently did on a regular basis, he also faced the same struggle between the internal and the external person. It shouldn't surprise us that Jesus worshiped regularly. It might surprise us that he started reading from the Isaiah scroll, since the literacy rate at the time was not very high, and workers, and Jesus was a carpenter, were usually not educated and were illiterate. But it might definitely surprise us that Jesus too experienced the struggle within himself between the internal and the external person. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me, he reads, to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free and to proclaim the Lord's favor. And today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Jesus apparently claimed the ancient prophecy that he was God's anointed, that he was anointed by God's Spirit. But at the same time as he accepts this calling, he knows that his internal person, his relationship with God, must be expressed externally in service to the poor, the oppressed, the sick, and the disenfranchised. And Jesus, like Ezra and Nehemiah before him, realizes his dilemma in the synagogue during worship. And he chooses to focus not inwardly, but outwardly toward God's people. I started my sermon today with Dr. King, not because it's the culturally appropriate and politically correct thing to do, but I did so because who he was and what he said and what he did is in keeping with our faith tradition that reaches back thousands of years. Dr. King's message was powerful because he was not just another activist in a long line of forgettable activists. We remember him and we still talk about him, whether we agree with him or not, because he too was able to bridge the internal and the external person. He advocated for the poor and the disenfranchised and the outcast, not only for African Americans, but for all God's people. And he did it not as a political figure, although he was that, but he did it as a pastor. And more often than not, he did it in the context of worship. Ezra's message, Nehemiah's message, Jesus' message, Dr. King's message, all their messages were powerful because they had a spiritual foundation. And because of that foundation, they were able to address both the spiritual, the inward, and the physical, the outward needs of the people they served. All of them were clear about the source of their strength. Worship, and then worship. And they were united in their focus and in their clarity of their calling. They were not to serve themselves. Their mission was to serve God's people, which means all people. So what Ezra, Nehemiah, Jesus, and Dr. King teach us is that our worship is impoverished if it does not have concrete consequences out in the world. But they also teach us that our work in the world is impoverished if it isn't grounded in worship. And that's the compromise to which God has called God's people from time immemorial. If we can live this compromise as God's people in this place we call Ladue Chapel Presbyterian Church, what a powerful witness we can provide to a divisive world and troubled times in which we live. So together with Ezra and Nehemiah and Jesus, we remember that today is holy for us to the Lord our God. As our middle hymn proclaimed, the one we just sang, at God's word, at Jesus' word, we are gathered as God's people in this place so that our hearts and our souls will be stirred to seek and be in awe of God and to express our love and our devotion to this God. And as we leave this place, our final hymn that we're going to sing in a little bit sends us into the world, reminding us that God calls us to join together in service to others as we live into hope. That's the title of this hymn, right? We live into hope of captives freed, with insight, with clarity, proclaiming liberty to all people, the right to speak, the right to be, proclaiming our full release of hope and joy, and in the end, of peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.